Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike live in studio once more with my wife, Linda. And if you were listening yesterday, you know it was a rerun, a rebroadcasting. Listen, we're going to move on in this topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage today. But I hope you don't mind when we replay certain episodes that I think are worth hearing again. Yesterday, we played our episode when we talked about porn. It was a surprise to us. Well, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but several different people called in, both men and women, saying how destructive pornography had been in their lives or in their marriage. And then one brother even called in and gave some recommendation how he was delivered from porn, to encourage some of our guys out there who are listening that there's hope. Don't stay stuck in that rut of addiction to pornography. And I know some people, especially today, nowadays, people just make light of it. Like, oh, it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. Well, if you heard our show yesterday, you realize it is very destructive. Everything from the way it makes your wife feel, if guys, you're doing it, and the way it makes you look at women, it rewires your brain to look at women improperly, and it's just a sin, okay? When Jesus says, if you look at another woman to lust after her, you're committing adultery in your heart. And so it's important to realize God's perspective on all these things, that as times change, morals ebb and flow, what's considered right and wrong, as you know, if you're paying attention to what's politically correct nowadays. But we've always got to get a reality check from the Word of God. What does the Bible say? So I hope you caught that. If not, we do have that. We're podcasting our stuff. But listen, we're going to continue here on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Before we do, I want to let you know that you can interact with us. You can participate. And this is a duo show. Me and Linda work together on this. So I'm going to let her tell you how you can interact with us if you're interested.
Hello, everybody. Hey, I do want to let you know that I have been working on the lookuptojesus.com page. And I have got the September 1 hour messages up there. Okay.
Good.
And so the ones for September, as the radio is posting them on their site, I'm going over snagging them and doing all the fancy work you got to do to get them to work on our site. So since we've been gone an hour in September, you should be able to start finding those shows showing up within a week or so after we do them. And the older shows, I will slowly work on getting those linked up. We use Dropbox. They changed their system, and it basically nullified every link that we had to our audios. And that's for Calvary Chapel Eagle and our lookup page. Mm-hmm. So we're in this slow process of having to rebuild all of those links so that actually the audios are active again. So have patience with us. If you see a title of one you want to hear and it's not active, zip us a message, a text at the church phone, and I will work on that one specifically for you. Maybe it's going to be out of order. So we would love to hear from you today. We're still in our topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We're pretty much to the remarriage part of it, though. As we're going through this, you keep going back and touching the other parts, okay? Mm-hmm. So we kind of never really move on, as long as we're in it. But our main focus is remarriage right now. We'd love for you to call us, be live on the radio with us today, okay? That number is 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. If you don't want to talk on the radio, send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, and that is 208-891-2635. And then if you're up on Facebook Live, go ahead, leave a comment. We've been responding to those. It's really funny. One day we'll get phone calls. The next day we'll get all text message. One day last week we had it was all happening on Facebook Live. We were getting the questions. So if you have questions, especially dealing with marriage, divorce, and remarriage, we'd love to hear them. But if you have other questions, go ahead and put them up there. And as we get a break in this topic, we'll cover those.
Okay. So listen, we are now moving back into, and you know, I feel like it's not fair when we've been gone for a couple of days, I should do a little bit of a review. So what I want to do is just read the last two paragraphs of where we left off when last time we were here live, because we were talking about when you are free to remarry. We've already talked about all the ins and outs of what the Bible says about marriage, what the Bible says about divorce. When can you biblically remarry? When is it not right to remarry? We've covered those things already. I'm not going to cover all
and
that
all
again.
All of that is pretty much up on lookuptojesus.com.
Good.
Up till the last time I looked, November wasn't up there. So I'm waiting for November to go up on their site. Then I'll snag it and bring it over. But, you know, you can go back and start with us if you're you want to know what's going on
right
with the whole series, where we started. If you missed some days, hey, everybody, you can go back and find them now, okay?
Yeah, this is an important series, and I'm glad Linda's working on getting those links back up working. Unfortunately, you know, technology could be a blessing or a curse.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hearing more and more people are putting stuff up on YouTube and they don't have that same problem. So maybe we'll work on some of that too, is getting it up on YouTube. Listen, when we're talking about your right to remarry, let me just read from that point, the next two or three paragraphs, and then we're going to move on to the topic of abuse today. Okay. Now, marriage is sacred in God's eyes, and God takes your marriage vows very, very seriously. And our hope is that you will take your vows very seriously as well. If you are free to remarry and you choose to consider remarriage, we hope that you'll take time you need to recover from your divorce. Now, we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
We had Jeff Brown in the studio, and he is the head of Grace for Divorce Ministries. Once more, I'd recommend you, if you want to go to their webpage, it's simply gracefordivorce.com, and you could contact the folks there and maybe get plugged into a small group. They've got kind of like self-help type groups for those who are just recovering from a divorce. It's destructive. It's like, you know, when you recover from an accident, you need to go get physical therapy, even after a surgery or whatever. And so a divorce can be emotionally debilitating and crippling. And so, you know, if you're looking for help with that, maybe you could just go to gracefordivorce.com and hook up with those folks, okay?
And one thing is, you know, I've had so many people tell me that divorce is a form of death.
Hmm.
It is the death of your dreams, your hopes.
Hmm.
You were counting on this to work.
Right.
When you said, I do, you guys were both so starry-eyed at each other and so in love and never thought anything would come between that. So it is a death. It's death of life as you thought it was going to be. And you know what? After a death, as you know, we know that now with our daughter, your life is never the same. There's a little piece missing, you know? So it takes time to recover. As you guys know, just a couple weeks ago, we had the 1-year anniversary of her death. Can't believe it's a year, yet it seems like forever, you know, when it takes over that much of your life. But I know people that are still suffering 29, 30 years after a death, you know. We have one friend who's a pastor. He can tell you how many days, not how many years, how many days ago his son died. You know, so it's a process, and so is divorce. Don't be so quick to think, oh, I'll get over this. And a new marriage isn't going to fill that void.
That's a good point.
That is something right that only God can fill
right
and heal in your life. So what we're going into now is really encouraging you, take that time to mourn the loss of your marriage, the loss of what you thought was going to happen, the loss of your family being this wonderful, beautiful unit forever and always, family vacations, all those things that are now not going to happen. Mm. Take time and mourn over those. It's okay. You know, after we do this series, finish with this, we're hoping to go into one on grief. And one of the things that Beth, the owner of the station, I have always talked about is we don't allow ourselves to grieve anymore. Grief is an important part of healing. And I think that's the same thing with a divorce. And as we talked about last week, you got to look at, is there anything I could have done different? Okay? Especially if you're the victim. You didn't have control. But is there anything you could go do different if you head into a second marriage? Let the Lord reveal that to you. Only the Holy Spirit can speak that one to you.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Go on. I'm sorry, I interrupted
that's
you.
That's why I want you in the studio with me. Yesterday when you weren't feeling well, I didn't want to come in by myself because I know that as a team, it's always good to hear what you have to say on this. Now, keep reading. We hope you will become a solid, mature believer. We hope you will choose a solid, mature believer as your new marriage partner. And we talked about this last week, is always put God first. One of the things I like to say, and I think we said it last week, it bears repeating, is that if you're looking for a spouse, the best way to do it is serve the Lord with your life, find what God's called you to do, find your gifts and callings, and get busy serving the Lord. And as you're doing that, you look around and see who else is serving the Lord with you in those same areas. If you're a worship leader, or if you go to convalescent homes, or if you like to do evangelism or mission trips, I would say whatever God's call is on your life, do it right now. Don't just wait for a spouse. Do it right now, and then look around and see who else is doing that with you. And it's often the best choice to pick a spouse from is those who are serving the Lord alongside of you in that ministry. Continue reading here. We hope you and your new partner will allow yourself to bond properly in a vigilant, sexually pure courtship. We hope you will consider your new marriage choice very, very carefully. Now, that's where we left off. And again, I'll stress that I really believe that if you allow sexual relationship to begin before you get married, it really does mess things up.
Yes.
Not only does it mess up your relationship with the Lord, it brings on guilt and shame in your relationship. Later, it can even bring blame, that you're blaming your spouse to lure you into a sexual relationship. But it also clouds the water. When you are trying to figure out, is this the one, if you add sex to the picture, forget it. You're just going to move full speed ahead because now you're driven by hormones and emotion and the feelings of an exciting sexual relationship rather than, you know, I don't think we really get along very well. I mean, I've actually known couples who didn't get along at all, but they had a great sex life. It's like, go explain that. I don't know. but the thing is, what happens is, If you're dating someone and you start out like that, you're headed into a bad marriage and the only thing you have going for you is sex, I'm telling you something, that's not going to keep you going for the long run, okay? Now,
but it is a necessary part.
When you're married.
Married.
I do believe that once you're married, it's the lubrication that keeps the machine running, okay? Because things can get tough in marriage, and sometimes just a good sex life within your marriage. It's funny, I was... it makes all the difference in the world, but I was thinking my mind's jumping all over the place. This Sunday, I taught on James being the half-brother of Jesus, and I addressed the issue that a lot of people believe that Jesus didn't have any brothers or sisters, even though you could find verses that say, Jesus, he was the carpenter's son, and Mary's his mother, and James and Joseph, and names all of his brothers and sisters. And there are some who say, oh, no, all that means is that was Jesus' relatives or his cousins. Others have said, oh, that was Jesus' half-brothers because it was Joseph's kids from another marriage. And the only reason people do that is they're really stretching the scriptures in order to hold up their belief in the perpetual virginity of Mary. Now, if you believe, let's just put it this way. If Mary was married to Joseph and remained a virgin perpetually, then she was a sin. She was sinning. She was an ungodly wife. She was not being what she should be to her husband. She was wouldn't have been a good Jewish woman by Jewish standards. She wouldn't have been a good woman by Christian standards. She'd be in sin, okay? So those of you who like to hold up the perpetual virginity of Mary, realize that that would be a horrible thing that Joseph married this woman. He loved this woman, and yet she stayed a virgin all her life. That's just weird, okay?
Did we just go there? We did, huh?
Yeah, okay.
That's okay. Hey, folks, we will talk about anything
I
here.
Think it's important
it is
to
important.
Deal with.
No, it's true.
It's funny. It wasn't in my notes, but it just kind of came out Sunday because I felt like it was an important thing to address. Okay, because we're talking about sexual purity before marriage, but I also want to, as Linda pointed out, it's sex is an important part of your marriage relationship once you get married. And so here I go now. I remember hearing years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I'd always try and find ways to explain it to the kids. And, you know, they say that sex is dirty. Well, somebody once explained it to me that sex is like a beautiful lawn, okay? If you take a shovel full of it and put it in your living room floor, it becomes dirt. But out in where it belongs, it's a beautiful lawn. And so I think sex is like that as well. In its proper setting, it's beautiful. Out of its proper setting, it becomes dirty, okay? So that's just something as a youth pastor I used to tell the kids. All right, now, wrapping up our review is that we did talk about that when God has given you the green light and you know that scripturally you have the okay to remarry, then you need to also realize that you're limited in who you are to marry. And 1 Corinthians 7:39 explains that even as a widow or widower, let me just read 1 Corinthians 7:39. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she's at liberty to marry to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. And so even speaking to widows and widowers, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 talks about, all right, look, don't feel guilty if your husband or wife dies. You've got the freedom to remarry, but don't marry a non-Christian. Marry only in the Lord. And the other verse we use for that, now I think you need to know this, is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Listen to this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, that's an idol? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Now, it goes on, but let me just tell you, this applies to a lot of areas, not just marriage. It applies to, I would say if you're starting a business, it'd be unwise to start a business venture with an unbeliever. You're going to have different priorities. One might want to fudge on things and the other may not. And so many things in life, it's important not to have fellowship with unbelievers. Now, you should have Christian and non-Christian friends that you can witness to and so on. And you know, but you shouldn't totally cut off all unbelievers. But especially when it comes to marriage, that there's no real bond to hold you together. And by the way, if you marry somebody who is not a Christian, or let's say they're in a cult, they're a believer, but they're not in the same denomination that you're in, there's going to be tug of war going on for the whole entire time of your marriage, particularly if you're a young couple and you're going to have kids. There's going to be a battle going on. Are we going to baptize our kids? Are we going to take our kids to church? Which church are we going to take our kids to? Are we going to practice this holiday or that holiday? Anyway, it's just something I think I wanted to review before we moved on as far as only marry a believer, and we need to be careful not to be bound together with unbelievers.
Okay, we got some comments going up on Facebook Live. Bobby put it, when you talk about sex within a marriage, it's like fire. In the fireplace, it's helpful and beautiful. Outside the fireplace, I think you meant to put destructive there, which right. It is.
Good.
It destroys,
that's
which
another
is a
great
good
analogy.
Way. Very good analogy. Now, we have a couple questions.
Okay.
So before we move on, Sandra's asking, where is the authorization for the guilty adulterer to remarry?
There is none.
Okay, that's what I was thinking too. I don't think there is
any.
Fact,
if you read 1 Corinthians 7, it actually says your two choices. If you have left your spouse for someone else, you have two choices. You either stay single or you remarry. Now, if you're guilty of adultery, your spouse has the right to divorce you, and now you're stuck. You need to just seek the Lord of what he wants to do with your life next, because that's not a very good place.
Okay.
Now you got another question.
Well, the other question was about abandon. And I know you're going to be, when you're
that's easy for you to
abuse,
say.
Yeah. Abandon and adultery right. are the three A's. So we will hit being abandoned and what that has, because, you know, you're not responsible to this thoughtless person who's forsaken his or her marital responsibility if you've been forsaken.
Right.
You've been left. Yeah.
Right. As a matter of fact.
And we'll get into that more.
Yeah, I probably should find it, because in 1 Corinthians 7.
15.
You got it? Verse 15. In 1 Corinthians 7, 15, it says, if the unbeliever departs, let him depart or let her depart. God called you to peace. And I really believe what Paul is saying is, you know, he wants marriage to work. Even if you're married to an unbeliever and the unbeliever wants to make this marriage work, don't leave them because they're not a Christian. But if they do abandon you, if your husband or wife leaves you because you're a Christian and they're not, and they abandon you for that cause, then Paul clearly says, let them go. God's called you to peace. You're free. Okay.
What if they say they're a Christian?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Then it's funny because I've heard
they're
several.
They're not living like one.
Well, I've heard several takes on that, because there are some who say, well, they say they're a Christian, but their actions prove they're not. I've heard some say that they're backslidden, and I would tend to lean towards, it's possible that you could be truly a Christian, but right now you're making some sinful choices, and you can be abandoned. And I know of a couple comes to my mind right now where the guy, as far as I could tell, he was a Christian, and he divorced his wife, and we tried to intervene, but I don't know what to tell you. The Lord's got to deal with him.
Yeah.
Okay. The Lord will deal with any of his own children who live in sin and choose to disobey. God will deal with you. He knows how to get a hold of you. He knows how to intervene. He knows how to chasten his kids. And so that's why I always recommend to a woman or a man who's been abandoned to wait. Don't just right away go, oh, okay, good. I'm free to remarry. I'm going to go remarry. Hold on. Wait. Give God time to work on your spouse, because it's possible that it's going to be the prodigal son story. As a matter of fact, one of the folks in our church who I really love dearly, his wife recently left him. Actually, it's been about a whole year now. But as we went through this process, one of the things I kept telling him is, look at it as the prodigal son story. Wait on the Lord, and let's just see what the Lord will do, because you want to trust, you want to pray, you want to see if the Lord's going to still restore this marriage. I don't think you want to be too quick with a knee-jerk reaction that if you're abandoned by your spouse, all right, 1 Corinthians 7:15, I'm free, and then go jump out of the frying pan into the fire, right? You could get into another situation that may not be any better, because remember, wherever you go, you take you with you. Okay. So anyway, I hope I answered that question properly.
That's it.
Okay.
That's
all
what
right.
we got.
All right. Here we go. We're going to keep reading into this. By the way, if you're just joining us, this is a paper I wrote maybe as much as 10 years ago. I forgot, but it's been revised a couple times. It's a paper on marriage, divorce, remarriage that we're trying to clarify what the Bible says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I wrote one of those on staff at Calvary Chapel, Boise, and we never could find a final agreement that, okay, it's good, it's perfect, let's publish it. Well, it never did get published, so here we are.
But we will. When we finish this, it's going to be published up on our website.
Okay. All right. So speaking of starting over in a new marriage, after divorce or death of a spouse, we know you can't remove all the scar tissue that you're carrying around from your past relationships. We know your new marriage will face some difficulty, because even very good people don't act good all the time. We know that a stronger commitment level will probably be required for you to stay in your new marriage than was required to you to remain in your previous one for the long term. Hold on, let me explain that, okay? Because I want to explain that paragraph. Maybe I should even write some more in there to explain it, because your first marriage, typically, people are like, oh, forever, we're you know, BFF forever, you know, we're together forever, and it's till now to eternity, and that's how you feel. And what typically happens is when all your hopes and dreams are dashed, you started out with the best intentions, that it's you and me forever, babe. We're never going to divorce. We're always going to be together. And your hopes and dreams are dashed. You become tainted. You become disillusioned. Tainted, I guess, would be a good word, because you can tend to look at your next marriage as, well, I hope this one works.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, yeah, this is you and me forever and ever, babe. You tend to look at the try two, like, all right, I hope this one looks. And I tell you, it's statistically, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I've seen them before, that every time you divorce and remarriage, your chances of divorcing go up, because you're not going to put up with that again.
Yeah, know? Jeff Brown talked about that mm-hmm. the commitment is less and less each time. Once you're divorced, it's easier to do it a second time.
Yeah, and it was Jeff who helped me write this, so that's probably where we got it from, too. And I've seen statistics since then that it's really easy to go, you know what, my third husband mistreated me, and I'm not going to put up with it at all on my fourth husband. You know what I mean? Just think, the first time you go through something, it's a whole lot more intense. And each time it's like, okay, we're done. You know what I mean? It just tends to go in that direction. Okay, so let me read that paragraph again with that in mind. We know that a stronger commitment level will probably be required for you to stay in your new marriage than was required for you to remain in your previous one for the long term. So let's say this. If you're getting remarried, maybe you're looking at your second or third marriage. You need to commit. You know what? This time, I'm going to do everything humanly possible. I'm not going to quit as easy as I did on the last one. You need to be more determined not to make patterns of marriage, divorce, remarriage, marriage, divorce, remarriage. How many times have you seen that in people's lives? And it's just not a good place to go.
Yeah, that's the one thing I remember Jeff Brown talking about when he was in studio with us, is that you give like 110% to your first marriage. You want this thing to work. But after, you got hurt, things didn't go right, the percentage that you give, I think he said something like you only give 70% into a second marriage. And then that percent of what you will give into it to make it to work drops each marriage after that. So the statistics are you're going to be afraid and you're going to hold back. And what we're telling you to do is now give 120 instead of 110 on that second one. But hopefully this time around, you're older, you're wiser, you have personally matured, okay? Bobby's given some stats, so maybe we can take a look at those and see.
Because I can't open up my Wi-Fi and my laptop right now.
Yeah, so. You know, and that hopefully you have fixed the problems within you. One thing the Lord showed me a long time ago is if when I get hurt, I put a wall up, he can't use me. If I am not willing to get hurt for the sake of Christ, then you know what? He can't use me at that point. So we have to be really, really careful with that. You know what? There's music distracting me and everything. It's the top of the hour, and it is time for us to take that station break. So you guys hang in there. We will be right back, and then we're going to give you those statistics that Bobby found.
94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. Mike and Linda will be right back. Look Up was recently extended to a full hour from 2:30 to 3:30 every Monday through Friday. Mike and Linda want to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions about what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. To access the Facebook Live feed, be sure to send a friend request to Linda Bennett Sasso. If you would like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now here's Mike and Linda.
Oh, darn, I was pulling up the old article and trying to update it. Didn't have enough time to fix it. Okay, so let me go right back to our what we're reading.
We're going to give those stats.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay, Bobby brought those up, and I take it that she got up there and did the homework for us. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, first marriages, 50% end in divorce. Second marriages, 67%. Third marriage, 73%. People give up and people won't put up with stuff. But I think part of it is, yes, you know what? Don't make the same mistake and pick the same type of fool. Okay? Some people just get attracted. Some people are attracted to different abusive characteristics. They think, oh, he's so macho when he's controlling. No, he's controlling and manipulative. You need to recognize that. And that's one of those things that we're talking about, that you need to recognize what in your life needs to change. One of it could be what you're attracted to. You think, oh, yeah, look at that guy on the motorcycle, so tough. You know what? He may end up beating you. You know what I mean? It's like you've got to look for the character, not the physical outward appearance of a person, okay? I'm going to tell you, you have to find out someone's heart. It better be for Jesus, and you need to see what their temperament is like. You know, we've told you many, many a times, you never really know someone till you offend them. And I would suggest highly, if you're considering marrying someone, offend them. Find something that would offend them to see how they handle it. Do they blow up at you? Do they want to fix it? Are they hurt? Do they play little puppy dog, poor me? Do they go into the manipulation? Do they go into the sympathy? You need to know that. You need to know if the person you're looking at marrying would sit there and just go into a little self-pity party over it, or would say, wow, that really hurt. Why? Why would you say that? Why would you say that? You need to find those things out. And, you know, and I don't want to say purposely, you know, go out there and be mean to someone, but you know what I mean. It's very easy that we can offend someone, and you need to see how people handle it. Okay?
Okay, well, let me add to that here, because okay. I think that instead of just going out and offending them.
You know what I mean.
No, I'm just saying the best, I think that's a good reason for a longer courtship, if
yes.
You can do it, okay?
Because you will naturally offend each other somewhere.
You will have bumps in the road along the way.
Yeah.
And so the longer you watch somebody, the more chance you get to see who they really are. And like Linda and I have said many times, we've noticed it in people at the church. You don't really know what somebody's made of until you hurt their feelings, offend them, or say something they disagree with. You know, there's got to be some kind of conflict there. And you see how they handle conflict, and you see how they handle offense when they are offended by you or disagree with you. Do they take their toys and run? And so I think that's really important for your marriage to have a time of courtship, especially your first marriage, you know, because I know people, they tend to move so much quicker on a second and third marriage.
Yeah.
But that's what Jeff Brown works on with you in Grace for Divorce, is to slow down and don't run right into another marriage, because you could make big mistakes that way. And so it's good to have a longer courtship. And keep in mind, and we've said this many times before, that when you're dating somebody and you're not married to them, they are on their best behavior, okay?
Yeah.
You're not going to see their ugly parts if you just met them and you've known each other for just a couple weeks and maybe even a couple months. And it's like they're just showing you their best side because they're trying to win you over, okay? And then all of a sudden, you marry them, and now they could let their hair down and be the Wicked Witch of the West they really are, okay? So I'm just saying it's better to give courtship a little time to watch going through the seasons of life. And, you know, it's funny, things come into my mind right now that some people, even seasonally, they get depressed in the wintertime and they're happy in the summertime. We need to know how people handle life.
Yeah. One thing that I was going to say is I really think if you are heading into a second marriage, that you should be able to sit down with the person you're going to marry or planning on marrying and be able to talk about what went wrong in your first marriage.
Good point.
What happened? If you were the victim especially, I think they need to know wholeheartedly what happened. Did your husband cheat on you? You need to be able to talk about that, that is one of your fears. That is something that you do not want happening. Do you know what I mean? So it's one of those things that I think you should be able to sit down and talk about this. If this person wants to marry you, they need to realize you've got some baggage you're going to carry into this marriage. And if they get all offended and, oh, how could you think I would ever do anything like that? Well, that could be genuine hurt, or that could be a cover-up. That could be manipulation, and you need to find out. But I think talking it through, not easy to do, but if you're going to become lifetime partners, you need to be able to talk about things even like that. Mm-hmm. And how can you avoid it? Did your first marriage, did your husband get into porn? Well, how can you prevent this in the second marriage? Okay, talk about it, that you know it's a real thing. It's destructive. It ruins lives. It ruins marriages. You need to be able to talk about those things before you are committed.
Right. Boy, I tell you what, going through this paper, we end up covering a whole lot more than we had planned on just from the paper, because now you're reminding me of some other things. Because one thing I want to caution you folks about, if you're on a second marriage, or maybe even you were really hurt deeply through a breakup before you met your current spouse, is one of the pitfalls that I've seen in a lot of relationships is projection of what my last spouse did to me, and how do I know you're not going to be the same way? And for instance, you know, if a man went through a divorce and his last wife, his former wife, was always cheating on him, then he may be always suspicious that, how do I know you're not out behind my back seeing other men? If she was always putting him down and always attacking him, this man could be so sensitive now that every time you say something, he takes it as a put down. I'm just saying, there, every relationship we go through has an effect on us and leaves scars and bruises when it turns out bad. And now if your next relationship, they touch that bruise, it hurts more than ever. And the scars, you're overprotective of your scars. And so just be aware and be careful not to project what your last spouse did to you and expect, well, you're probably no different than him, or you're probably no different than her. Be careful not to put that on your next spouse if you remarry. Did you have something?
You can't say all men, all women are this way.
Right.
And you know, one thing I really want to throw out there, and I don't know if you're going to cover this later in the notes, but if you're thinking of remarrying, getting remarried, pray. Pray. Ask for that peace that passes all understanding. And, excuse me, and pray with that person that you're planning on marrying. If they won't pray with you before you're married, they're not going to pray with you.
That's another good point.
So that's one way you test, you know, how committed is someone really. We had a friend way back a long time ago when there was a paper Bible and it was easier to do this. But he was dating this girl and he was thinking of marrying her. And he grabbed her Bible.
I think she did it to him.
Oh, you think it was the other way? Okay, she did it to him. Excuse me. See, it's a long time ago.
I remember the story.
And she fanned through the Bible to see, is this a brand new Bible or is this Bible used? Is it red? Is it highlighted? Is it underlined? Does it have notes in it?
Yeah.
And it did. It had everything she was looking for. But just looking at his Bible told her part of his relationship with the Lord. Did he take it serious or not?
Right.
Or was that the Bible that sits on the coffee table all week long and you only picked it up to take it into church and then you put it back on the coffee table and it sits there shut all week?
Right.
Those are things you want to look for. But let me tell you, when you pray with someone, Mike always says this, you learn their heart. The things that people pray about, the things they care about, come out in prayer. Okay? You can see what this person's heart is. Is it always, oh, Lord, give me this. Oh, Lord, give me that. Lord, do this for me. Lord, do that. Is there praise in their prayers? Do they just praise the Lord? Or is it always, give me, give me, give me. I'm so needy. If they're going to be that way with God, they're going to be that way with you. See, there's so many ways that you can test this out before you put that ring on your finger, okay? Before you make it permanent, you can find out the character of the person that you're thinking of marrying. And believe me, it is so, so worth the time.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that story up about the Bible. Yeah. And of course, that only works if your spouse or the person you're dating uses a paper Bible.
Yeah.
But that always stuck with me.
That's all there was back then.
This gal says, let me see your Bible. And she paged through it and she found highlights and notes and underlines. And it spoke volumes that this is a guy who reads his Bible. Okay.
Yes.
So keep that in mind if you're the person you're dating uses a paper Bible. But you know what people are using nowadays? That's a real telltale is social media. Okay. I mean, you could tell a lot about a person in social media. Some people have no control, no filters on their social media. They just say whatever they're thinking. Blah, blah, blah. It's horrible. Some people social media. And so you watch what people post on social media and you'll see how careful of a person they are. You find out what their priorities are, what their political views are. You learn a lot. So, you know, I mean, this should be a no-brainer that if you're dating someone, you take note of the little telltale signs that will tell you who they really are. And see, if you're just starting to date somebody, you could look back on their social media and look on the records and see what did they say about the last person they dated. You know, there's a lot of things you could tell nowadays, and you can't erase.
After this, people are going to go back and start deleting their account and start over.
Because I guess you can delete some of the Facebook stuff, but I understand that there's some things you never get rid of that's out there in the internet.
Somewhere. Okay.
So anyway, just ways to know. And let me keep reading here now on the paper because we got sidetracked, but I look at them as divine sidetracks. We call them, instead of rabbit trails, we call them spirit gusts because the Lord happened to blow us in that direction. Now, so we hope you will use sober judgment and healthy grace when considering the subject of remarriage. Because you must not add another bad experience to your marriage history. You really would do better to remain single than to experience that. Now, I really have to say this. There are some people, and maybe you who's listening right now, you've just been through a bad relationship. Maybe this is your second marriage or third marriage. And maybe if you really listen to the Lord, you're going to hear him telling you, stay single. There are some of you out there who every time you remarry, you're going to choose foolishly. You're going to rush headlong into a mistake. And if you listen carefully to the Lord's voice and study your Bible, you're going to hear the Lord telling you, hold course. Even the scripture says, let everyone remain in the same condition in which they were saved, where Paul was writing, I think it was in 1 Corinthians 7 as well. But he talks about, you know, were you married? Don't seek a divorce. Are you single? Don't seek a wife. There is a wisdom to holding course right where you are, of right who you are. And if you're, whatever your status is, you're single, you're married, hold course and seek the Lord. I've also known women who, once they went through divorce, and especially, I'm trying to think who it was, but one gal who had two daughters, and she says, you know what? I am not looking for a new man in my life. I'm going to raise my girls. And she was committed to spend the rest of her energy focused on her daughters. So another interesting thing is, an important thing is in your life, what stage you're at. If you're a young mother or a young father and you've got the kids at home, think of how that new person in your life will affect those kids. You think it would be good? It may not. It may be something that the kids are jealous of because the kids are so happy that they finally have your undivided attention, or at least maybe if it's shared custody, when they have you, they have you. And I've seen this before too, that a man or a woman will start dating and now the kids have lost their parents because now you're all involved in this other man and this other woman's life, and you're all excited about this new potential partner.
Which you should be if you get remarried.
But make sure you're not dumping your kids, kicking them to the curb. Consider the effect that your new relationship will have on your children. I really respected that gal. I'm trying to think if it was as far back as California, because it was a long time ago where a woman told me, you know what, forget it. I'm not looking for a man. I'm going to raise my girls. And it really hit me.
Well, we have one of our leaders in our church that is raising her boys. Well, and that is her life.
Yeah.
And she pours herself into that and into serving the Lord, and she could care less, you know. Yep. Now, will that be forever? I don't know. Once the boys are raised and out of the house and got their own families, I have no idea what the Lord's going to tell her. But you need to consider that very, very seriously, because if you're going to get remarried and you've got kids, you should be so excited about this new spouse. You really should be. But would that be detrimental to where you're at as a parent, which is the position where you're already at? So I agree. I think that's one thing that people do not think through. What effect does this have on the kids when you rush into another marriage? Should it be till you're just alone and, okay, like the empty nest, I guess maybe I can consider getting remarried at this point, since everything else is done and taken care of, you know? So go ahead.
And I'm thinking friends of mine who actually specialize in blended families and all this kind of thing. And that's a whole nother story.
Yes.
Which we are not, that's not our expertise, because there's others who would give you wisdom on when you remarry. Here's how you blend my kids, your kids, and our kids, you know, and that's a whole nother thing. And each one of those things complicates marriage.
Yes.
So anyway, all right, now we're going to move on, and we're going to say a shoe. Instead of a few short words, it's a shoe. A few short words on abuse and abandonment. And again, I'm going to be reading from our paper. We need to discuss these two topics because they combined with adultery form the three A's that make up the primary reason for divorce in our modern world. And again, I'm going to just give kudos and credit to Jeff Brown, who helped me with this, because I don't think the three A's was in my vocabulary until I met him, and he helped me work on this. Okay. Each of these three A's are very delicate and sensitive issues, and we as Christians always want to be extremely gracious when we are confronted with questions regarding any of them. The problem we face is that each of these words describes sinful human behaviors that are very hard on relationships. Each of these terms can be used subjectively to describe behaviors that are truly wrong, but while a behavior might be very bad, it may not actually rise to the level of badness where we would consider divorce to be the only viable option. In other words, each of these terms can mean different things to different people, and we truly want to be gracious, but we have to be biblical as well. The other problem we face is that only one of these terms actually appears in the Bible. The others are arguments from biblical silence, so we have to be very careful in our opinions. Again, I've lost you, the three A's are adultery, abuse, and abandonment. And the Bible really doesn't speak very clearly on the other two, abuse and abandonment. Abandonment a little bit in 1 Corinthians 7, but adultery is the big one that's addressed in Scripture. Let me keep reading. Again, we truly want to be gracious, but here is how we would describe these terms. Adultery is actually having real sex with a real person. Pause. Because we talked about this already, that there's times when lust and pornography can so destroy a marriage relationship that it can get you to the point where separation is in order, and maybe even to the point of divorce in extreme cases. But I have to say, and I've said it before, is that if you catch your husband or wife looking at porn, it's wrong, it's sin. But it's not an immediate divorce, okay? This is wrong. This is unacceptable. we need to deal with this, okay?
So. Hey, I don't know if I agree with that statement you got in your paper there that you men came up with. Because let's, you know, that is like the kids before marriage, fooling around, doing everything but intercourse, and they're saying they're not having sex. I'm sorry. If my husband was doing any of that stuff with any other woman, I would consider it adultery. Any kind of kissing, fondling, all the other stuff that kids think they can get away with nowadays. I think that description may need to be revised a little bit here, because I don't think it covers the reality, because that puts the excuse down to only if you have intercourse, then that's adultery. Jesus said, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you have already committed adultery with her. So I would not. Okay, we put the safeguards. We've talked to you guys about this before. We don't have lunch with someone of the opposite sex. It doesn't give a good appearance. You never know who could see you there. It could be a meeting. It could be a counseling meeting. At as hard as we possibly can, we do everything we can to avoid getting in any of those type of situations. So if my husband's making out with a girl, I'm considering that adultery, because that is going beyond the limits of what my spouse is allowed to do with any other woman. So I don't know, Mike. I personally don't really agree with that definition. And yes, folks, we disagree at times.
Okay,
and we
well,
do it
let
on
me,
the air.
Let me make clarification.
Okay.
What if a woman finds that her husband is looking at a swimsuit magazine? Or what if she finds that he's watching a movie that's R-rated and there's a sex scene in it? There's varying degrees and it goes deeper and deeper.
Yes.
If he's looking at a Playboy magazine, if he's looking at hardcore porn, there's all these different varieties, and you don't just sweep them all in one category that, okay, that's adultery.
Yes.
We're going to divorce. Okay. Well, the point here is the grounds for divorce. We're talking about grounds for divorce. And so adultery is having real sex with a real person. Now, not that it makes it right, and not that Jesus didn't say. Jesus said that if you look at a woman to lust after her, you commit adultery. Okay, so if a woman sees that her husband, she's at the beach and the husband is just drooling over this gal in a bikini slinking by, is that grounds for divorce? No, but he needs to stop looking. Okay, we're talking about Where you just draw the line of this is plain real adultery that's grounds for divorce.
Yeah, but you're putting it down to just intercourse. What about all the other stuff that leads up
to
it?
No, it didn't say intercourse. It says real sex. Sex could be all kinds of sex.
Okay, then that's going to help, okay? Because real sex to me says intercourse, okay? Because that's the excuse that all the kids are using nowadays. We tell
them
they're in fornication.
Okay, I see what got you upset, but do you see it says adultery is having real sex with a real person. Sexual activity is sex. Doesn't have to be intercourse.
Okay. Okay. You got that, folks, out there?
Okay. So here we are just trying to define the three A's, and we're moving really slow here. Okay. So.
Okay. Here we got a. What about consistent inappropriate relationships with other women? Kissing, touching, flirting, having long conversations, complaining about their wife, texting sexual words and pictures, and occasionally pornography during seasons of drug use.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that fits into sexual activity with a real person, even if it is
sex.
Over social media. You know, but the kissing, you don't do that over social media, and you don't do the touching. That is what we just had our little difference here to clarify the wording, that we are referring to any type of intimate relationship, maybe rather than sexual, real sex. Intimate is having an intimate relationship with a real person, okay? Instead of just some person looking at a magazine and that woman doesn't even know he exists and wouldn't give him a second look, you know? With everything that you are explaining right here, honey, I wouldn't put up with it. It definitely fits into it. And I'm sorry, one of the things that fits in with it too is the very last words, drug use, that all these things happening during that. Yeah, we're only meant to put up with so much. And yeah, the flirting and all of this, that's what we work so hard to avoid. Because if people get close, there is a natural tendency to form a closer and more intimate relationship. Okay, so you got to be careful. There has to be super boundaries. And let me tell you, with Mike being in the ministry, and his job is to be compassionate and to listen to people's problems, women swoon over that. They just think, oh, the perfect man, he listens to me all the time. Well, it's his job, he's paid to. It's his ministry, okay? Do you know how many times I've had to say, look at me, I need to talk to you. It doesn't just happen naturally, okay? So, yeah, these are very inappropriate things, right, Mike?
Yeah, okay, here's the thing. There's been no there's no boundaries in this marriage you're describing here. Matter of fact, I think we'll have to, because of the music, we're going to have to pick up on this and redefine these a little bit clearer tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're not going to be here Friday, okay? So listen, folks, that's all we have time for. There's the music. I hope the Lord's speaking. I hope you're getting some clarification on these topics. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to